Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Amen. All right. You are listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network here. We are about to get Six's mic open here, but we want to welcome all to the show this afternoon, this morning, wherever you may be in the around the world. This is October 16th, 2022, saying welcome all to the Six Eyes Radio Network and the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everyone. Right. Well, we are going to have a great show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, Six Eyes Gospel Show, which you're about to enjoy. Now, those phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. Dial that number, 424-243-9617. You're about to enjoy the best in online radio, the best in online gospel show, the Six Eyes Radio Network. I have my coffee, and we're going to have a great show. Thank you for that great intro, Woof.
No problem there, Six.
Yes, indeed. Hello to First Lady. Going to have Pastor Bonnie with us a little later. Hello to Princess Mikkel. Hello to Queen Nicole. Pride and Joy, she's out there. Hello to her.
Hello.
Simone. Hey,
hello, everyone.
How's it going?
Wonderful.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
All right. All right. So what we're going to do here, being that the Lord has breathed breath into our lungs and got us to this point right here, we're going to see what's going on with the world right now. Is that okay, they haven't got to their desk yet. Just a moment.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
All right, here's NPR News.
Live from NPR News in Washington, Rom. As more Venezuelans flee their crisis-torn country, President Biden is invoking a Trump-era rule to deny them the chance to request asylum at the border. And as Maria Martin reports, some Central American countries along the migrants' route are also taking measures to deter them.
This past week, two groups of several hundred mostly Venezuelan migrants were rounded up in Guatemala City. Now Guatemala's migration agency says it's working with U.S. authorities to halt Venezuelan migration, sending a message that those without legal papers will be expelled from Guatemala. In just 1 month, the number of Venezuelan migrants trying to cross into Guatemala has risen by more than 90%.
Maria Martin reporting. The European Union will train thousands of Ukrainian soldiers on EU soil starting as early as next month. NPR's Joanna Kikissis reports the plan is expected to be approved tomorrow by EU foreign ministers in Luxembourg.
The EU has been debating for months on how to best aid Ukrainian forces as the war drags on. Poland, one of Ukraine's strongest supporters in the EU, has already offered to host training sessions for 12,000 Ukrainian soldiers. Germany will also train at least 3,000. But other EU countries are wary that this mission will further anger Moscow. Final details need to be ironed out, including how to move the soldiers from Ukraine into EU territory. The EU may coordinate its training with the UK, which is already instructing Ukrainian troops. Joanna Kikissis, NPR News, Athens. China's Communist Party Congress opened today in Beijing. The week-long event takes place every 5 years. In his opening address, President Xi Jinping issued a warning about Taiwan, saying China is committed to a peaceful reunification, but will never promise to renounce the use of force. Britain's new finance minister, the fourth this year, has told members of his Conservative Party now is not the moment to oust Prime Minister Liz Truss. Zilla Marks reports.
The new finance minister, Jeremy Hunt, has acknowledged in several interviews this weekend that more of Truss's economic proposals, particularly planned tax cuts, may be dropped and that difficult decisions are ahead for the British government. Even President Biden was asked about Truss's tax cuts and said he'd been critical of those for the highest earners.
The idea of cutting taxes on a super wealthy at a time when I disagree with the policy, it's up to Great Britain to make that judgment.
Trump has, however, insisted Truss should remain in her post, and another leadership contest of the kind that allowed Truss to replace Boris Johnson this summer was, quote, the last thing that people really want. For NPR News, I'm Dylan Marks in London.
This is NPR News.
All right, that's our affiliate, NPR News, here. So we want to thank you. That's our affiliate here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. So what do you all think? You know, Biden has been quite quiet these past few weeks. Do you all deem him competent to run for another re-election? Anyone?
Well, that's debatable.
Totally agree. I mean, this guy so far, I think he might be partly drunk some of the time, and I don't think he knows what he's doing, so why don't we wing it and see what God does?
You know, they say early onset dementia has something to do with it. They said he couldn't find himself off stage a couple weeks back, so it's just, you know, it's something. And, you know, if Kamala Harris has to step into place, I think Kamala Harris is just a one-liner person. I think she's gone to the library and went to every section that's deemed important to talk about in the world and just maybe read a chapter, because I have yet to hear a full sentence. I haven't heard her speak for 40 minutes yet. You know, it's a lot of one-liners, even when they had the situation with Ukraine and Russia. Well, Russia is a big country, and Ukraine is a very itty-bitty, teensy-weensy little country. I mean, she's talking to us like we're fourth graders or preschoolers, you know, so I've never really heard her articulate herself in a vice president capacity. What do you think, Princess Mikkel? Going once, going twice, sold. All right.
Say it again.
Well, I asked you, I asked you about Biden. Do you think he should do a second term? And what is your take on Kamala Harris?
Biden, I think this might be his only term, unfortunately. I don't know if he will be able to do a second term. And I'm kind of iffy with Kamala Harris. I haven't seen anything significant that she's done to say, hey, that she would make a great president.
Mm-hmm.
She would definitely have to fall in the call of, you know, for the call of duty, do what she has to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen her speak 40 minutes total since she's been vice president. Never. She comes on TV. She gives these.
You said, you mean 40 minutes? I mean,
40 minutes. 40 minutes total. Since she's been vice president, I have not seen her speak 40 minutes total. She comes on the news, whatever kind of press conference she comes on there, she gives little blurbs, and that's it. And they haven't even totaled up to 40 minutes. So it's just something to think about.
Right.
But we're going to get on with this gospel show. Once again, the phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. We want to say hello to our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries. Praying for the sick and shut in. Praying for my family, your friends, my friends, your fans, my fans. Praying for mankind. That covers everybody. This is the Six Eyes Gospel Show. All right, we need an opening prayer. Let's get that great opening prayer going.
Amen. And we thank you for that there, Brother Six. I don't make it great. It's God who does. And so let's give credit where credit's due. So Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we ask you now, Lord Jesus, take the wheel of this here program and have your will in your way, Lord Jesus, especially in that soul who is nearest hell, so that they, Lord Jesus, will reel up the white flag and surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, and let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, Lord Jesus, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now that you'd comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are right now dealing with COVID-19 as we speak, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the radio or television set, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us to remember to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so dealing, Lord Jesus, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for that prayer. Amen. All right. Well, we are going to get ready to dance for Jesus.
Don't we have the scripture reading to do?
We do. Excuse me. But before we do the scripture reading, let's check with the ladies and see how their mental is doing, and then we'll go to us.
Well, my mental is 10 today. I'm so happy. I could bust loose in song. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again.
All right, Nikhil, you got to top that. You got to top that. How's your mental?
Mental, I feel like I'm illuminated.
Okay, can we get an illuminated song?
No.
Well, you don't want Ruth to show you up. I mean,
well, I'm not. She's got it.
Let Ken try to sing. You think I ain't gonna outsing him?
You gonna outsing Ken now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Ken, how are you feeling? How's your mental?
Well, how am I feeling with my fingertips and toes? But but technically, I'm doing a 10, and all I can say is amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch
like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind,
but now
I see. Amen.
Well, my mental is doing good today.
And I'm feeling good. Good.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
Dog howling.
That's just, see? See? And I know Mom and Dad is laughing. Hello, Mama. Hello, Daddy. Hello, Sister. Hello, Brother in Heaven. We're drinking coffee. Amen. Now I know my father's son. What the heck was that you just sung? I don't know, Dad. My goodness.
He sung about food. I heard the wording. It was food.
All right. Let's get on with the scripture reading here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
This is Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine inheritances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. This is Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's dance. Jesus, come on, y'all.
If I can have your attention, don't mean to waste your time. I like to tell a little story, how I was lost and couldn't find my way. But then I met Jesus, and something started to change. I ain't proud of the past, I'm proud of the fact that I'm not who I was now.
The only happiness, that's my freedom. your hand.
Born in North Carolina, about the town near line. Yeah, I came within the struggle, and on the street I had to fight. But that was just to catch a so it was not taken. I ain't tired of the past, but I'm proud of the fact that I'm
you're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show where you get your praise on without leaving the house. Come on, y'all. We're just getting started.
Bye.
Come on, y'all.
Thank you. Got to film this beautiful October 16th, 2022. Bring a friend, tell a friend. Amen.
Yo, it's almost here. In a few moments, say yes, we can.
Amen.
What would I know about adversity?
And ladies and gentlemen, I bring you our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Welcome, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. God bless you, man of God. Good to hear you on today. Amen. It is a blessing to be on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. Well, as you know, I done left the house and went to Somerville, came back to a part of Memphis, and now I'm here with you all on this worldwide network, and it is a pleasure and an honor to be here with you all today. So God bless everyone in the special places here today. I am just excited to just be in your company. It is a wonderful thing to have an opportunity to speak to people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. But before I minister today, there's a song called Kingdom. I'm going to play it by Maverick City Music and Kirk Franklin. It's a little long. We may play it all. We may cut it. But I want just that song to put us in mindset. The message all month long, I'm ministering from the platform or the emphasis of answering the call of God for ministry. Amen. And answering the call of God for your life don't mean you have to be a preacher, a missionary, not even a deacon. Answering the call of God exceeds the four walls of your local church. And so all month long we've been dealing with answering the call of God. Amen. And today my message is obedience while answering the call. Obedience while answering the call. How important it is just to obey God when you say yes to him and when you begin to do the things he inquires for you to do. Before we get to it, allow me to play this. Come on, Kurt.
Hello, Nicole.
Good morning.
Good morning. I pray that this minister to you today, wherever you may be.
Thank you.
Don't you know that really you're too big for this? You're the reason something bigger, something greater. And then you can not be distracted by your right now. You don't get your
soul. Yes. Run. Yes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. All hail to Jesus. Yes. Amen, amen, amen. What heaven's look like. We often talk about heaven. Amen. It will be wonderful if our churches all over the world will have a greater representation what heaven would look like. So often we group in our groups, whether it's our ethnic group or our financial group, we group together. But heaven going to be a mixture of people, black, white, young, old, all of those that have bled in the name of Jesus Christ for the pardon of their sins and receive the gift of salvation, the gift of redemption that gave us the right to cry, Abba, Father. You and I today have that right. When we read Galatians chapter 3, we see that God has given us the right to just cry out to him. He is our Father. And so we are thankful that he has given us his Spirit, that we can call upon him. We can reach out to him in the things of life. Today I would like to minister to you a story that many people may not know in the Bible, but it's there. And so hopefully you have your Bibles today as we journey to the book of Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 13. So I pray that you have your books today, your Bibles with you. And we're going to pick up there in the 13th chapter. Now, mostly this whole chapter is my lesson today. But I'm going to paraphrase some for the saving of time. This was a time where the children of Israel was being divided. And one king was over one part of the people, and another king was over another part of the people. And there was confusion. One king came and built calf, golden calf, and told the people, when you make your sacrifices and your burnt offering, to do it here and but these are the gods that delivered you. And so because the king was doing a thing that was definitely not God's will, that God abhorred, that he hated this idolatry, that the king would teach the people to worship a pagan god, a god made with their hands. And so God commanded a godly man to go forth and prophesy at one of these altars. And as this man of God obeyed the Lord, and he went and laid his hand upon the altar and began to say certain things. He began to speak concerning the destruction of it. We pick up in verse 3 there, and he gave a sign that same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass that King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar in Baal, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold him. Telling the people, get in. as he stretched out his hand to do such a thing. The next part of the verse tells us, and he put forth his hand, it dried up, because he dared to point his hand at the man of God commanding the people to stop the word of God. By no means was this man somebody to be messed with. Of a certainty, the Spirit of God was with this man and for this man. And so the king's hand withered then as he pointed his hand at the man and told the people to lay hands on him or grab him and hold on to him. And so it began to take place as he had said. The king answered and said, O man of God, entreat now thy face unto the Lord. In other words, he's saying, please talk to God for me. Ask God to restore my hand again as it was. And so the man of God did as the king asked of him, and God restored his hand. And so as the king's hand was being restored, he said to the man of God, verse 7, and the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Now, this man of God was under strict orders from God. God had told him what to do, how to do it, and there was no misunderstanding on what he was assigned to do. By all means, like when you tell your children, come in, I need you to come in the house, I need you to go to your room, I need you to make up your bed, I need you to put away your toys, and I need you to make sure that all your dirty clothes are in the hamper. Now, that's some strict instruction. And don't come out until you're done. And when you're done, I want you to go this way. Go out the back door through the gate. Yeah, I know you came in the house through the front, but I have company. I want you to go back out the back door and go that way. And so the man of God was given instructions similar to that. But God gave him strict instructions on how to carry out his word. Because God was making a point to the people. And it was very important that the man of God did exactly what God had said. He first spoke what God had declared, and the people saw that in their eyes. Now the king realized that he had done wrong, and he wanted to now gain favor with the man of God. We don't know whether or not he had an ulterior motive, but we can assume he may have. Because before the king got to this point, the people had already approached him and said to him, your father had burdened us with many burdens. We ask you to lighten our load, reduce our taxes so that we can strive, and we will remain with you. And that same king who had heard their plea, he went to his father's counselors, the senior men of his counseling, and he asked them what to do. And they gave him instruction to acquiesce to their request. In other words, if you submit to them, they will remain with you and be with you. And after receiving their counsel, he did something that sometimes many of us have done may be doing or hopefully we don't do. Is he begins to talk to people that wasn't in position. He talked with the other young men that grew up with him. And other young men, not having wisdom, began to counsel him in the opposite direction of those elder council men. They told him to tell the people, if you thought my daddy was hard, I'm going to be harder. For my finger against you will be bigger than the waistline of my daddy. In other words, I'm going to tax you harder. I'm going to work you harder. And I'm not going to give you a reprieve. And that's what the council, and so the judgment came to him because he didn't hearken to righteous counsel. And this man of God who obeyed God in the beginning, that's why when the Bible tells us over in Galatians, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? In other words, you did run well. You started out good. And that's why my message today is entitled, When You Answer the Call, Keep the Call. Don't deviate from the call. Don't turn from the call, but keep fulfilling the call until it's done. Because as we read this story, we find out that the man of God, after hearing what the king says, he lets us know he understands the word of God. So the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half of thy house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged. It was charged. In other words, God gave an assignment. And that's why we have to understand when we are answering God's call in life to do the things that God will have us to do, it is so important that we do not deviate. Here it is. He was operating in the power of God. God was there to protect him. He saw the protection of God because as the king stretched out his hand to point at him, to do him harm, God dealt with the king immediately. To so much, the king had to repent and ask for prayer and forgiveness then. And here it is, we have to be careful because the enemy know how to appeal to us. He know how to appeal to us on multiple levels. First of all, there's an understanding of his charge. So he says, verse 9, for so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way thou comest. Thou camest. Amen. So he went another way and turned not by the way that he came to Bethel. In other words, he came into the city to deliver a message one way, and he was obeying God, and he left another direction. But that wasn't the end of his test just because the king tried him. He was still in the land. Here's the dangerous thing. And that's why it's so important that when we are under leadership, that we're careful when listening to other people outside of that leadership. Because everybody's assignment, it's not your assignment. Everybody's statement concerning you may not be there, may not be that to benefit you. The Bible says in verse 11, it said, now dwelt in an old prophet. Now he was called a man of God, so may consider him a prophet. But I want you to realize at no point have we been given this man of God's name. We have only been given his title to let us know he was indeed a man of God. But we see no mention of his name. And I'm pointing this out to you because it's so important for us to obey God, because we can mess around and our name doesn't be mentioned where it need to be mentioned. The deed, what he done for the Lord, was mentioned. And now the deed of disobedience of the Lord is being mentioned. The Bible says, now there dwelled an old prophet in Bethel. And his son came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the word which he spoke unto the king. Then they told also their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? Where yet? I need you to point me in the direction that he left. I got to catch up with that fella. For his son had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said to his son, saddle me a donkey. So they saddled him that donkey, and they rode, and he rode thereon and went after the man of God. And he found the man sitting under an oak tree. Now, we got to park right here and identify the only reason why the enemy was able to catch up with him. And you said, Brother Preacher, you calling the prophet an enemy? In this season, he was. Yes, he was a prophet of God. That means he had a skill, a talent that God gave him. But he also had his own spirit from God. But he didn't realize that it was to put to test the man of God. That's why the Bible says, you did run well. See, the man of God was leaving the city as he told. But here in the story, we see him sitting in the oak tree, under an oak tree. Kind of mind you of the story most of us should know, especially those of us in America, about the turtle and the hare. We know the story of the hare, that they was going to have a race. And the hare was so fast and so quick, and he was boasting to the turtle how he was going to beat him in this competition. And so the turtle took off when the gun went off to go. And he ran so fast, and he was so ahead of the turtle, who was just moving steady, but moving forward. He was moving as swift as he was able to move. No, he wasn't the turtle. He didn't have a lot of speed, nor could he jump high. But he was moving towards the finish line. Well, the hare had to run so fast, he was tired. He said, I'm so far ahead, I can take me a nap, forgetting the importance of finishing what you start. And that's why it's so important for us to never stop when we're in the move of the things that God has put us in the move for. When God has told you to do this, there's no time for you to stop. You keep on till you finish. And we see in the story that the turtle began to catch up with the hare. For the hare was fast asleep. And so the turtle didn't stop to speak to him. He just kept on moving right on by. Before you know it, that hare woke up. That old rabbit, he woke up. And he looked back to see where the turtle was, and he didn't see the turtle. But he looked up, and he see the turtle, the finish line. And he gave it all he had, and he ran as fast as he could. But the part of the turtle went across the finish line before the hare was able to break the line. And so by the time the turtle got through and the hare came far, they wanted to know, how is it that you can be so fast, yet you let this turtle beat you? See, when you have a call of God, you know it doesn't matter what other people have. Many of us get sidetracked because we begin to look at the position of other people. That old turtle didn't look at the fact that that hare was faster than him, slender than him, lighter than him. He did not consider none of those to hinder him from running the race he could run. And many times, that's our issues. We begin to put so much emphasis on others till we forget the emphasis that God has put on us, the mandate that God has given us. That's why I always say, if God said it, that settles it. It's not a matter of whether or not I believe it. If I know what God has said, whether I understand it or not, that's not my job. Understanding is not a prerequisite to doing the will of God. Clarity is. When you know that's what God said, that's what you do. You may not understand how it's going to happen. You may not understand all the working parts of it, but you trust in what God has said. This man of God rejected the offer of a king because he knew that his assignment was to get that king's attention. He knew that his assignment was to let them know that they was in error. But he wasn't aware that just because you tell this group what God has said, you don't know the attack of the enemy that's coming to try to hinder your walk. Many men in God have fallen over the years because I can name a few, but we're not in the name-calling game today. Amen. I can name a few that didn't believe in a certain scripture, and later on when they told about their fall and how they fell from grace, they had to attest that although they was preaching and people was being blessed and people were receiving the word of God through their mouth and the ministry that they had, that it was because they did not apply the scripture to their life. It was the very thing that took them down. It was the very thing that took the favor of God from them. It was the very thing that caused them or their ministry to die. And here it is, we see in verse 14, and he went after the man of God, and he found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said to him, "Art thou the man of God that cometh from Judah?" And he said, "I am." Now, he wasn't supposed to be talking to nobody. He's supposed to went in, say what God wanted him to say, and leave the other way. Leave another way. He answered the king in accordance to being obedient to a leader, and he kept on going. But for whatever reason, he made a decision to stop. And when the prophet caught up with him, he began to talk to him. Verse 15 says, then he said, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I will not return with thee." He started out well. "Nah, doc, I ain't finna do that. No. Nor will I." He said, "Nor go with me. I'm not finna eat with you. I ain't finna go with you." He said, I'm not going to break bread with you. This ain't time for fellowship. I was on an assignment from the Lord. And we're going to have to take communion later. So the scripture says, he says, I may not. In other words, I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to return with thee, nor go with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place, because I'm not supposed to eat here. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Y'all know when I do that, I'm talking about the all-sufficient one. I'm talking about the one who is self-sufficient in himself. So if he said it, that settles it. There's no rebuttal. There's no reinterpretation. He said what he said. He meant what he said, and that was it. And we know this man of God had clear understanding. Some of us are wondering sometimes why we don't have certain things or why we're not as far as we should. It may be. Perhaps there was an assignment from God and we didn't obey it to the letter. And because we didn't obey it to the letter, there were certain things that fell upon us because we failed to obey what we understood God was saying. So he said, it was said to me. In other words, I ain't need to get this second hand. Excuse me for broken English. He said, I did not receive this by proxy. No one told me this. I received the word of the Lord myself. Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor return again to go by the way thou comest. He said unto him, the old prophet, he said unto him, I am a prophet also. And his comment should have been, or his statement should have been, and what that mean? What that got to do with what God has said? So he pulled a title. I am a prophet also, as thou art. And so that's why we will say this man of God was also a prophet. But this prophet's name is not mentioned because of what's about to be stated. And an angel spake to me by the word of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Some of you may know the scripture that says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God name in vain. Well, this is one of those implications when he had used the name of God in vain, because it was for a lie. It was for deception. He said, an angel spoke to me by the word of God, saying, so he put an angel, and perhaps, let me digress, perhaps the man heard from what he thought was an angel. But the Bible said that Satan comes deceiving as an angel of light. So maybe, just maybe, the prophet thought he had a word from God, but it was from the devil, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But here's why we know it was deception. But he lied unto him. In other words, there was no angel that said nothing to him. And the word of the Lord definitely was not sent out to him. For there was a spirit of deception to cause this man of God not to speak for God anymore. We know that the word of God manifests through his mouth, because as he spoke, actions of what he spoke took place right afterwards. The mountain, that altar was split. The ashes fell into the splitting of the mountain, of the altar, excuse me. They saw the move of God as the man of God spoke the word of God. And upon the king receiving an affliction for pointing his hand at the man of God, he didn't receive his release, his healing, until the man of God prayed for him. So he experienced the power of God firsthand. And so the man of God had obeyed all the way up until the point that he heard somebody else in quote-unquote godly authority. That means when you are under assignment from God and anyone else coming speaking to you concerning that assignment, God knew whether or not he was going to be hungry. God knew whether or not he was going to be tired. God knew every condition he was going to have to face when he gave him the assignment. There was no hidden thing from God. The instruction for him will go in and come out. Don't linger. But yet he allowed something in himself to cause him to linger. And when he was approached by others, they used their influence to mislead him. So I don't care how big your name is in life. I don't care how much money you have. Once I have an understanding of what God has said, I mean, right now today, there's artists, musical artists today, selling their souls to big businesses to push their propagandas, to push their agendas. And that big business are trying to push their agenda by offering these people who already established a level of popularity, offering them more money for them to sell themselves short. We'll talk about that tomorrow night in motivational, Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, if the Lord say the same. The Bible says, and it came to pass as they were sitting at the table that the word of the Lord, so that means, I skipped the verse 19. So he went back with him and did eat bread at his house. So he gave heed to a lie. Brothers and sisters, one of the reasons why I tell you to open up your Bible when I'm ministering, yes, many of you trust me and trust the integrity that's with me, but in all of that, I can still make a mistake. I can still miss the mark. But if you are reading with me, if we're going through this together, then what I am saying and what I'm reading, you will be reading and receiving it along with me. That way it removes the room for error. It removes the opportunity to be deceived. Because as much as they fight this book, the Holy Bible, they have not been able for over 2,000 years or more to destroy these sacred scriptures. Because God's word, his word, will outlast any lie. For his word is true. Now let me continue. Verse 19 says again, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. And it came to pass as they were sitting at the table that the word of the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, God showed up. God showed up. Because God gave the man of God an assignment. And perhaps the Spirit of the Lord was waiting on the outside of the city for the man of God to get there. And when the man of God didn't get there, the Spirit of the Lord had to come back inside the city and justify that he's doing what he was told not to do. And so now the Spirit of God speaks to the prophet, who was able to hear the word of God. Now, he just lied. But just because he just lied here didn't take away the gift that God gave him. The Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. But we're clear which prophet. And he cried unto the man. He cried now because he realized, man, the devil done used me to curse you. Now I got to tell you what God said. And he cried unto the man of God, came from Judah, saying, thus says the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, thus says the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobey thou mouth of the Lord. In other words, I talked to you straightforward. And so you disobeyed what I told you directly. See, one thing about a parent, if I told my child to do X, Y, Z, and they don't do the Z, but they did the X, Y, my first statement is, I told you what to do, right? And you had an understanding, right? And I told you the consequences of your rebellion. So I'm going to carry out what I said. Now, it'd be different if I told the one son to tell the other son, and it was through word of mouth, then he can say, well, I didn't understand. I thought this or I thought that. No, 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 no. There's no misunderstanding when God talked to you personally. That's why it's so important for you to have a personal relationship with God. Jesus had made this possible for all of us. We have a personal Savior. I know people don't like when I say it like that. We have a personal Savior. We have a personal Savior. That's why he's my personal Lord and Savior. Because he is touched with the feelings of my infirmities. He understands what I'm going through. He know who I am. And because he know who I am, he has drawn close to me every time I try my best to grow closer to him. He made himself available to me as I continue to make myself available to him. But the problem is sometimes we're not interested in that relationship with God, so we don't become intimate with God on a personal level to know him and to know his voice for our one self. We trust the fact that he's going to speak to the leader, and we trust that only. And it is not enough for you just to listen to the preacher. It is for you in this day and time to know the word of God for your one self. The preacher is there to guide, but the word of God is there to provide, to give clarity, to give understanding, to give support, to give safety. The word of God is our benefit package. it provides so much more than what the mere man or woman can provide for us. We must know the word for ourselves, because that is what God is obligated or duty-bound by, his own word. So now, here it is, they sitting down at table, they having a fellowship time. This old prophet, he get to see a young preacher. They're probably talking about certain scriptures of their day and time. He's probably telling him what took place with the king. And he's probably doing all the type of fellowship. And while they're talking about the move of God, the Spirit of God shows up and speaks through the prophet. And he said, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital B, and has not kept the commandment, not the suggestions. When God speaks, those are commandments, not suggestions. Which the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, thou God commanded you. It says Z. It means you. But cometh back and hath eaten bread and drunken water in this place. I don't know about you, but I can imagine if I'd made this mistake, I'd have been interrupting the man of God right then and there. I'd been pleading for my life. I'd have been asking for forgiveness right then and there, crying out to the Lord to have mercy. And if my judgment was still to my demise, I'd have sure put shame on that preacher. You caused me my life. Your deception. May you have to carry out the work that I would have done all the days of your life. Because his disobedience cost him his life. Of which the Lord did say unto thee, eat no bread and drink no water. Thou carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy father. In other words, you're not even going to be buried with your people no more. You're going to be disconnected. You're not going to make it out of this land. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the donkey, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion, somebody say a lion, nature, king of the jungle, a beast, in obedience to God. I'm going to show you how obedient this lion is. And we can see scriptures that shows the level of obedience even in lions and other animals. That we see in scripture that there was a lion that was commanded not to eat a man of God. And he couldn't eat him. Not only could he, it wasn't just one lion, but it was a den of lions. And they had to sit back. And that very next day, the very next day, those lions that would have had a snack pack, you know, this one might have got a leg and this one might have got an arm. They just would have had a little snack pack. The next day, they get a full course meal because those that worked that deception was all thrown in and them lions had their fill. And they held not back. But here, this lion out of nowhere, met him by the way, and slew him. In other words, he killed him and ate all the meat off his bones. Now, check this out, Brother Six. I want you to see how the lion is obedient. The lion met him by the way, slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. It was in the opening so people can see it. It wasn't dragged away into the jungle. It was in the opening. And the donkey stood by it. Wait a minute. The man was on the donkey. The lion attacked the man while he was riding the donkey. The lion didn't hurt the donkey at all. Matter of fact, you'd have thought that the attack would have killed the man and the donkey, or the donkey would have got wounded some kind of way and the man fell off and the donkey would have ran for his life. He said, "Why he got you, I'm going to get away." But the Bible says here, the donkey stood by it, the carcass, and the lion also stood by the carcass. So here it is, two beasts, two animals in nature. One said, "Here he is." The other one said, "I got him." And they stood there waiting on somebody to come pick up the bones. The Bible says, and they stood by the carcass, verse 25, and behold, men passed by it and saw the carcass cast in the way and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city. Everybody was talking about this. Man, can you believe? Man, somebody done got themselves killed. Boy, old lion got him somebody, and he's standing out there guarding the carcass. And on top of that, there's a donkey over there, and he ain't going nowhere neither. Man, y'all got to see this. Because nature know how to obey God. We're the ones that's hard-headed. They went into the city and told it where the old prophet dwelt. So the old prophet heard it, and he went back. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard of it, he said, "It is the man of God." He's a man. Man, I know who body that is. Yeah, man, that's the dude that was supposed to keep on going out the city. That's the dude I brought back to the house, man. Man, I wish I would have never done that. Man. But he was disobedient. He told me no at first, but then he kept on coming with me. It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Therefore, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, has delivered him into the lion, which has torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which he has spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, "Saddle me a donkey." And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the donkey and the lion standing by the carcass, and the lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took the carcass. In other words, he was the man of God was able to go up and to talk. The lion said, "All right, I've been waiting on you to come get this, man. Somebody had to come and claim his body. Thank you. Been waiting on you all this time." The donkey standing there said, man, we done been waiting for you for a couple of days now. Come on." The prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the donkey and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. and he laid the carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother, my brother. There's many of us that are called of God that's going to lose our life in this world, die before our time, all because of our disobedience. When we answer the call of God, to whatever degree it is important for us to fulfill what he said the way we heard it and not deviate from it. Because the very deviation that we take could be that hinders us or calls us our lives. And it came to pass after they had buried him, he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried, and lay my bones beside his. Then it's the least I can do is to be with him in death. For the saying which he cried to the by the word of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, against the altar of Baal and against the house of the high places which are in the city of Samaria shall surely come to pass. In other words, that still did not hinder the prophetic word that the man of God said. It's just now the man of God won't see all that he spoke because of his own disobedience. There was another great man. We know him as Moses. Moses was by far one of the greatest men pre-Christ that walked the earth. It is he who has given us the Ten Commandments. It is he that has given us the Book of the Law. In fact, in our day and time, it is he that is responsible for us having the Torah. That's the first five books of the Old Testament. But he allowed people one day to make him angry. God had commanded him to speak to a rock. One day he told him to strike it. But later on he said, just speak to it. There's power in your words. But he got angry because the people was pestering him. The people was constantly complaining. He allowed the aggravation of people to push him to a point that he disobeyed God towards the end of his life. And he smoked the rock, and he smoked the rock. And then the rock performed as it should. It gave water to give drink to the people. But God spoke to him and said, because you have done this, you can't enter in the promised land. I'm going to let you see it. But because of your disobedience, you're not going to enter in. So it's so important for us to maintain our integrity. It's so important for us to maintain self-control. Self-discipline is one of the things that is our personal obligation in obeying God's word. Adam failed to maintain self-discipline, and he blamed it on another. this prophet who is not named, I'm quite sure, wherever he is at rest, he's blaming the prophet, the old prophet, that tricked him to go another way. Moses, before he passed, he probably said, them darn people, good riddance. It's time for me to rest anyway. I want you to think about your personal life today. And I want you to think and reflect on how we have allowed the actions of others to make us do something that we know within ourselves we should not have done. James told us to count it all joy when we fall in our temptation. They told us to count it joy because it allows us to know what we are still needing to work on. So this message is not one of condemnation, and if you took it as condemnation, that's because you took it from a fleshful standpoint and not a spiritual standpoint. Therefore, now there is no condemnation to them that walketh not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, depending on which way you're walking, that would dictate how you took this message. This message is to encourage us not to allow others change us from what we know and understand about God without the proof that God said it. One thing the man of God did not question the old prophet, he didn't say, when did the angel come to you? He didn't say, where did he come to you from? He didn't ask him, what was the name, angel name? He asked no information. That means he didn't even verify to see whether it's true. And again, I digress to why I say to you when I'm ministering, open your Bibles with me. Let us read together so that we see what the Word of God has said as I share it, how God has given me. Now, this is what to share with you today. My sincere prayer is that you receive it as a word of caution, that you are mindful to obey God's word, that you are mindful to follow the instructions as God has stated them for your life. As you reflect on this message, you may encounter some times where you missed out on opportunities, and you will encounter them as you remember them. You will remember them based on you didn't do what you knew to do. You did something else, or you follow someone else versus your first understanding. It's very important for us today to obey God. The entire Mormon church is built on a man who said he had a vision from God. Not God, an angel. He said an angel gave him golden tablets. He said God told him, this is my son, hear him, and spoke to him, and he did nothing to verify what he stated he saw or heard. He didn't back it up with any scripture. And therefore, he built a foundation that gave him reverence and not God. And so it's so important. Even in what we're doing, no matter how great we do it, that we ensure that when people reverence us, that we make sure that that reverence go to God. When people say how good you spoke, how well you encouraged them, make sure we give that glory back to God. Because we want to keep everything decently and in order. And everything that we are able to do, and everything that we shall do in our future, it will be because God allowed it. It will be because God gave us strength to accomplish. It will be the power of God working through us that will make life changes in this world. Now may God bless you as you meditate on the things I said today. Go back and read 1 Kings. This was the 13th chapter, but back up to the 12th chapter and see the condition and the actions of the king. As you read this next verse at chapter 13 and see the whole sum total of this. What you do today in this corner is part of a greater picture. Don't consider what you are doing and what you bring to the table small. A puzzle is not finished, even if the smallest piece they're missing. Each of us are a piece in the puzzle that God has put together. But we must be in the right place to make the puzzle complete. Hey, I love you with the love of Christ. Thank you once again for allowing me the opportunity to minister to you today. Thank you, Brother Six, Missionary Ken, and all of those that make up the Six Eyes Radio Network team. God bless each of you. I pray that you receive me as God has given it for me to give to you. I love you. God bless. It's back in the hands of who had it first.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for that beautiful message. For me, there's not a one takeaway. This is something to listen to before bedtime and really digest it before you go to bed so it can be fresh on your mind. So there's not no one particular takeaway this week for me. I'm complete.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Thank you, Brother Six. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. Nicole, anybody?
Hello, Pastor Bonnet.
God bless you. Sister Emily? Amen.
Well, there for a while at the beginning of the show, I was listening in via the internet because I had a prayer line thing come in and I had to take care of it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you, I got to agree with Six. Same one point that you made today in your message that I could just pick out and say, this is it. I got to agree with Six. This is something you need to set, download the iHeart app, get our podcast.
Amen.
And sit and listen to it before bed.
Okay. Amen. Anyone else?
Yeah, Reverend Bonnet, I really loved that. In fact, it helped a great deal on a decision I had to make, considering I had to decide that I really am better off singing than doing some other things that I didn't know I shouldn't be doing, like, some people get up and teach. My grandmother taught Sunday school for many years. And I don't know. I've got a friend that is almost a pastor of a church. You can't usurp authority over a man. It's in the scriptures. So she's not doing proper there. And so I found out I wasn't either. So I'm trying to work on some things, and it's going to be more singing. I'm having a fun singing. I'm still writing my book, and I'm just having a blast. So I just thought you helped me a great deal in what you were saying.
Well, Ruth, you just stand right by, because speaking of singing, you'll be helping me in a very short minute with that. Because my takeaway, I have to use our bloodhounds that kind of help in with my takeaway, okay? So
okay.
If everybody don't mind, I'd like to do the bloodhounds and then bring my takeaway into it.
Okay.
Okay, well, if you're all right with that, I'll go ahead.
Hold on, Ruth. Hold on. Is everybody all right with that?
That would be, that would be a six call. Oh.
If you guys were okay with this, sir?
Six?
Yeah,
is that good with you?
Right here, so we don't have open air time. So let's keep it moving. Go right here, sir.
All right. Then, Ruth, give us the bloodhound that they were supposed to search out for this week.
I'm sure my
remember, don't give no reference.
Okay. Every man, according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
All right. Now we know that God is talking about that we're to be a cheerful giver. Give that one more time, Ruth.
Every man, according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
And also we see there that we're to give as we purpose in our heart. One more time for our listeners' sake, Ruth.
Okay. Every man, according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Okay. Anybody know where that's at?
I like to say 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 or 7, amen.
Verse 7, you got it.
Yay!
2 Corinthians 9 and 7, that's correct. All right, she's got that one right. All right, and for the one they got to sniff out by next week, Ruthie.
Yeah, don't sniff too hard. You might have trouble. Okay, here we are. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
Ooh, and we kind of heard the answer to that this morning in our scripture reading. So, okay, Ruth, you want to repeat that again?
Yeah. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings?
And so we find that God is telling him they had robbed him, and he said it was in tithes and offerings. And one more time, Ruth, for our listeners' sake.
And I bet they'll get it all right, too. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
All right, now for my takeaway. See, as Pastor Bonnet was talking about, when you get a call of God, you're no matter what, you're not supposed to deviate. Well, this takes me back to 1990, when I was called to preach, when I was called to the ministry to the blind. The person who I had as a pastor back then and the church I was in, even when I was called, I knew right away, right from the get-go, when I heard from God and he told me, I want you to go do this ministry to the blind. I knew right then. I was like, oh, boy. I'm not going to be believed. Back then, I was legally blind. I had some vision, but legally blind, and God wants me to go to these blind camps, blind schools, and tell the blind of our country the gospel and bring them Bibles, what have you. I'm like, you know, even for me, how am I going to do that, Lord? But, hey, if you're calling me, I know that you'll make it possible. Well, when I went and told my pastor and told the church what God called me to do, just the same response, just as I knew it would happen, they were like, yeah, right, uh-huh, sure. And they were so uptight about the whole thing. They wouldn't even pray for it. It was like, yeah, right, why should we pray for such a thing when we don't even think you're called, okay? But I knew I was called. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, as sure as my salvation, I was called to do this work. So I didn't deviate from it. I didn't let the negativity stop me. And so I went to college to get some training under my belt so I'd at least be able to know what I was doing. Went to Bible college. Then right while I was down in the city where I was in college, they had a camp for blind people. I went to that camp right from the get-go. Started going to camps. When my wife and I had our honeymoon, we went to a camp for the blind people. So, I mean, when we had the opportunity, we started going to these camps, what have you. And God noticed all along, I never deviated from that call. And then when God opened the door through the Six Eyes Radio Network, we've been reaching people. And we had our website. And once again, we've been reaching a lot of people that have been contacting us about Bibles, what have you. So God has never showed me that I've deviated, and I've never done so. There's been some people that have tried to tell me, well, I don't think you're – I'm like, I know that I'm called. I know what I heard. They try to tell me, oh, you ought to try something else. You ought to just try, if you're called to preach, just preach in the church and be happy with that. I'm like, no, I know what God called me to do. So with that, Ruth, get ready. You know my testimony song. Comes the song that was even written for me when this one lady, Wendy Clark, heard my testimony of how that when I was called to preach and called to the blind ministry and how a lot of churches reacted, she wrote this song for me, and we're just going to sing it a cappella here without the background music, and we want you to just listen to the words, and if Six would have me later give the information on how you could donate to the blind ministry, because we do have some needs for some finances, we'd be glad to give that information later. But right now, we want to sing this song. You ready, Ruth?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like God wants me to be all that He wants me to be. But others don't see that the Lord, He lives in me. Just because I don't see you doesn't mean God can't see me. All I want is to lend a helping hand, but I just cannot understand the cruel things people say as they laugh and walk away. Just because I don't see you doesn't mean God can't see me.
If God took away their sight, maybe then they would see the light. God will use who he'll use, but it's man that'll try and choose. Just because God can't use you doesn't mean he can't use me. Just because I don't see you doesn't mean God can't see me. And that's my takeaway.
My God, I have never heard singing like that. Wow. I mean, for y'all to get into that mold, how do y'all do it? How do y'all do it?
Well, Brother Six, as you well know, that's on our Clearly Spoken album, and we've sung that song so many times that, and especially when we had to do it for the album, even though we rehearsed that song so many times, I remember when we were doing it for the album and the way you were picky about getting us on, just like even when we sang it here, if you notice, Ruth started kind of late into the first chorus there. You was on us so many mm-hmm. times, and we had to do that, what was it, like six times to get it right?
At least, I mean, we were way off. And, you know, the same thing happened when we did it in our studio. We were like, help. Even some other songs we did, Kenny, I remember that.
Yeah, but Six was real picky about it, but hey, I like it when he was picky to make sure it was right. Amen.
Oh, Kenny, we forgot something.
Mm.
Emily is part of the Edgefield Angels now, and so she's going to learn the songs, and she will join us when we do, possibly, I think you would talk about a Christmas album.
Yep, but
Bonnet,
mainly.
You get a free copy. You get a free copy, Bonnet. Nicole gets a free copy. And Mikkel gets a free copy of the Christmas album. Are you excited?
Oh, we're excited about that. Go for it, Kenny. Let's do it.
Yeah, well, once we get it produced, we just got to get the funds up. That's also what I'm talking about, the funds that are needed for our blind ministry. That is part of what we're trying to raise money for, is the funds we're going to have to travel to Cleveland, three of us, travel to Cleveland to the Six Eyes Music Studio Productions, have to have lodging and everything we need there, because unlike somebody else, we will leave nameless who needs prayer.
Amen.
We pay our own way, and we want to get up there, get the studio productions to do that album. So.
Oh, exciting! Yay! I bet Emily's going to bust out. She probably knew though. I did tell her something, but I don't think
we
I
might have
her
a lucky. Her. We might have a lucky contestant come up to an actual recording session, so tune for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's your takeaway, and to God be the glory. Amen. Anybody else have a takeaway this evening on the message that went for? Amen. Don't dealing with not deviating from the call once you answer it.
Oh, I have to ask you something, Reverend Bonnet. I got to ask Reverend Bonnet a question.
Amen.
I'm writing my book, and I want to put your name in it concerning what you just said, and I wanted to put you in my book, if that's okay.
It's fine with me.
Because I got to ask permission for you guys if I want to put your names in my book.
Well, not if you're doing a forward, then you don't have to. You know, it's a dedicated piece, you know, when you say, and most books, when the foreword is done, the foreword mentions those that inspired the writing, and it may mention why or how, but the foreword is just a piece that you say, you know, this is because, or I'm thankful, and you name who you name. Whether they are living or dead, you share that information because it lets the reader know what
what spawned the book and what supported the book and why you was able to finish it. So it's all in that story. And it didn't, may give a little bit of information as to your emphasis of the book. And once they begin to read it and they'll see all the other details and discover the your why in that as they read the book. And they'll be blessed by it. Especially those that like to read. You're a go. All right? You are a go. I think I heard another young lady's voice that was...
Yeah, she got to turn her voice up. She got to turn her voice up.
Yeah, but so we're going to get real, real quiet so we can hear her.
Praise the Lord. And forgive me, I am trying to speak up. I just want to say my takeaway is obey God and be blessed. I believe that is what's all throughout the word. But in particular, Deuteronomy is coming to me, but I cannot remember the chapter. Well, I think it's a 12th chapter, but I don't want to misrepresent. But obey the Lord and be blessed is definitely my takeaway. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can paraphrase it if that'll help you. Don't worry about quoting scripture exact. You can always praise a word that generates in your heart. And then at a later time, if it keeps coming to you that way, then you find the scripture, and that way you have it and lock into it. So the next time you share it, you'll be able to share where it comes from. But you know, if you have a, because you may only have, it may have 10 words in it, and you may only are utilizing 5 of them. Or 6 of them, and the point is, it's the emphasis that draws your heart or gives you your guidance, and so that's okay to do that. Don't feel nervous about that, because a lot of times the enemy try to use that to keep us from sharing our testimonies of the things that God gives us. So don't worry about being able to quote scriptures. It may seem I can quote scriptures real good, but I just study real well. I prepare. And so many times, you know, I'm paraphrasing many things. And then when I feel the need to quote something, that's when y'all hear me say, turn with me. And then we read it together. So I used to teach this. Remember this, that the Bible is an open book test. So you don't have to be a great quote. It's an open book test. So hopefully that blesses you. It's an open book test. So it's all right to turn to it.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bonnet.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? Princess Nikhil, you got something today? Other than getting on us about the music. But you got something today.
No, sorry.
I can breathe now, y'all. I can breathe now. She done took a hand off my throat. Okay, go ahead. He said no.
Show is only 2 hours.
We're overtime. We're in our bonus time now. I tell you, sometimes our programs are good and overtime when it's tight. Amen. Well,
what I want everybody to do is share this show
on your respective pages. Ruthie, there's a Facebook box, or Nikkel, there's a Facebook box that you can click and share this Six Eyes Gospel show with your friends, with the world. We're going to start doing that every Sunday. I can count on you for that. I greatly appreciate it. That way they can get the show in case they miss it, in case they don't feel like going to iHeartRadio or Apple Music. It's right there on the respective Facebook page. It's the Six Eyes Radio Network page and our personal pages. Thank you for that. I'll leave it in the hands of you all.
Pastor Bonner, just had one question. You told us to turn over in our Bibles. How big do you think my Bible is?
Well, according to you, them Braille Bibles is like 16 versions or something. So, I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, if you lay it out on the floor, I'm quite sure you can lay down on it. Might be a little bumpy, though, but...
But my Bible is small, so I'm not going to be able to roll over in mine, but I love to read it, though.
Hey, didn't y'all hear the old preachers used to tell you to stand on the word? Stand on it then. I'm sorry. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, stand on the word.
Right, we haven't fun yet, honey. We got to put this one in triplicate. This is good enough to say down to our relatives. I mean, this stuff is really cool, what you guys got to say.
It's a blessing to be with you all. I want to say thank you
all right,
for all of you.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We want to thank you.
Yeah.
You've just enjoyed the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Come on down next week and join us tomorrow with Pastor Bonnie for Motivational Monday. We want to thank you all here from the Six Eyes Radio Network. This has been a Six Eyes production.
This has been a Six Eyes Gospel production. For Six Eyes and the rest of the team, you all take care.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
He's real. Oh, yeah.
All right. Take care. Go Browns. All right. Jaguars, do y'all thing. Don't let them Colts win. Now, by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us here, now, and forevermore. May we have traveling mercy as we travel, and may the peace of God be with us as we gather. Until we meet again, God be with you. God keep you. We love you with the love of Christ. We are dismissed. God bless you. Amen.
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 Amen. Have a great day, everybody.